loving our smiles and sorrows. He showed a way to follow, a way that is true and right. Jesus, take away every darkness, steady my simple footsteps, that I might in your goodness live as a child of God.
Don't you think she deserves a round of applause after that? That was great, right? Wonderful singing, yeah. Wonderful. What a beautiful voice. God is wonderful in the way he gives just different gifts and talents. And it's really my joy. I can just about see you in the back. Can you see me? Amidst the darkness. There are candles here, by the way. So we just felt that we wanted to give those of you a parents, we wanted to give you the choice of whether you wanted your children to have candles, because... We're very aware of safety here, but if you want to use a candle, there's one over here. Please feel free to just come up while I'm talking and to take one. But let me welcome you to our evening service on this wonderful Christmas Eve. There is something about being together, isn't it, on Christmas Eve? And it seems to me it's a kind of, as I welcome new people, because there's some faces that I don't recognize, but I see that there's some old-timers, that they're old-timers who are young at heart. They were young people in the life of the church, and they've kind of scattered all over the world. So I think I saw Andreas and Elise later is going to be doing the reading, and any others. It's just a great joy to be here. And to have you back together at home. Brussels is home for many people. We're going to have a time of prayer, and we're going to have a time of singing and scripture reading, and then hear a devotional from the Word of God as we rejoice. We don't know the day, the exact day when Jesus Christ was born, but that really isn't the issue. The fact is, he was born. And the world will never be the same because Jesus was born. So I want to begin with a call to worship. So you have your leaflet in front of you. And if you don't have a candle, you probably won't be able to read it so well. So you need to come up and get the candle unless you can read in the dark. So that's fine. So it's a call to worship, which means I'm going to read. I'm reading from Luke, a few verses from Luke. And then I would like you to respond. Where it says people, I'll lead as we respond in that. But hear God's word from Luke 2 and verses 4 to 6. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. While they were there, the time came, God's timing, for the baby to be born. Won't you just respond now as we read under where you see it says people. We too want to be counted among God's chosen people. This evening, we come from our homes to worship Emmanuel, God in the flesh with us. Now the time has come for us to rejoice in his birth. Well, won't you join me as I lead us in prayer? Let's pray together. God, our loving Heavenly Father, in the stillness of this moment, we remember that it was probably not still and it was not silent when the baby Jesus was born in that very messy manger. And we're encouraged today, all these years later, to know that Jesus really was born, that Emmanuel, God with us, entered the world in a way that we can never really understand. Because how is it that you, the eternal God who never had a beginning and you'll never have an end, how is it that you could clothe yourself in flesh and be born in the womb of a young lady? It's good for us to pause. It's good for us to marvel. It's good for us to say, thank you. In a moment, we're going to sing about a little town that many of us would never have stopped at. We would have just passed it by. And we think of people who would not have turned our heads, ordinary people, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And we thank you, Lord, that your ways are not our ways. We praise you, Lord, for your wisdom in sending your Son, for your love that drew salvation's plan. And this evening, what can we bring but ourselves and our lives? We want to pray today for family who may not be able to be with us and friends all over the world. We pray that they may know the peace and the grace and the joy that is all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that this evening we do worship Emmanuel, God with us. And because you are with us, then you can be for us in every circumstance and situation in life. We don't just want to come to another candlelight service. We want to come here to meet with you, and we want to ask you to change us so that we can be more like the Son of your love, Jesus. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand, shall we, and sing that great song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. please be seated. I'm going to ask those who will be lighting the candles to come and join me up front. So that's Fatma and Andreas and Suzette and Amandine. Just come up and join me over here in the front. We're going to light candles that represent, we've been lighting them. If you've been here in the context of the church family, we've been lighting for the last three Sundays and this Sunday, the different candles of hope and peace and love and joy that come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, a little later, we're going to light the candle, the Christ candle, to tell us that Jesus is born. And Fatma, we'll begin with you.
As we light the Advent candle of hope, we come to celebrate Christ's birth. To celebrate Christmas is to hope, to remember, and to prepare for something great to happen. May we become a people of hope in the midst of our world.
We may have to borrow another lighter, unless we don't know how to switch this on. It's always good to have a wife who knows what she's doing. All right, here we've got one. Happy day. Oh, we've got two that work. That's fantastic. All right.
Peace. We light the Advent candle of peace and thank our eternal God for sending the Prince of Peace into our world and offering us peace. May we also be givers of peace when we, like the wise man, worship still our King.
Amen. Thank you.
We light the Advent candle of love and remember that God came to us in love through Jesus Christ. We look forward to celebrating his birthday with a new sense of love for each other. Let us love one another. Let us love one another, for love is of God.
Okay, great.
As we light the Advent candle of joy, may we too sense the excitement in the air. May we feel joy in our lives and share it with those around us. Help us to have joy, the joy that does not depend upon earthly things, but instead depends upon our gracious God.
Great. It would be the Christ candle. There was a spark. Ah, there was a spark. Yeah. What we'll do is we'll grab one of these candles. All right. And we'll hand it to Andreas. And Andreas will light it for us. You're going to do the same thing in a moment with the Christ candle, so that's fantastic. Andreas, I'm going to ask you to light the Christ candle in a moment, but we're going to light the Christ candle to tell us that Jesus is born. Tomorrow is Christmas, a day of gifts and love and laughter. We're going to do all this because of the baby Jesus, the greatest gift of all. For 2,000 years, saints through the ages have celebrated Emmanuel, God with us. And indeed, he has come. So today, we join with believers all over the world in celebrating the birth of Jesus. We want to walk together in the hope and the peace and the love and the joy that shines to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fantastic. Thank you. Won't you stand with me, please? Thank you. You can go and sit down. So with your bulletin, we're going to sing. This is a very easy tune. We all know Away in a Manger, right? So that is the tune of Away in a Manger, but we're going to sing about these candles that we've just lit. Your seats. I'm going to ask Elise, who's on her way here, to read for us. Good to have Elise back. Elise is in her first year. You're studying at Fuller Seminary, am I right? So welcome back. I'm sure your parents and family are thrilled, and we look forward to you reading God's Word to us.
Thank you. Okay. I'm reading Isaiah 9, verse 2-7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you.
As we continue to worship the Lord, please join us by standing and let's sing Silent Night. We're singing Silent Night in German, Dutch, French, and English.
Amen.
see him lying on a bed of straw. It's a Calypso gospel.
Did you enjoy singing that Calypso carol? I sense that some of you wanted to get moving there a little bit, but maybe we'll do that next Christmas and really let it move. Well, we sung a number of carols today, and each carol is beautiful, isn't it? Because it adds a note to the great symphony of the birth of Jesus Christ. One carol we didn't sing that we used to sing as children was to the tune of Green Sleeves. Anybody know what that carol is? What child is this? We used to sing that, and the first verse goes, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" And even as a child, I remember thinking, surely it's obvious. I mean, everybody knows that it's Jesus, and we children of all. What I didn't understand when I was a child is that they're not all questions are for solving problems or for getting information. Sometimes you just ask a question to make a point. Many years after this, when Jesus was with his disciples, they were on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a huge storm came up, and the disciples were terrified, and Jesus, Lord of all, was sleeping. And they said to him, they woke him up, and they said, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" And with one word, he just stilled the waves and the wind. And then they asked the question, not for information, right? Not for information. They asked a question to make a point. They knew the answer. Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They just had to open their mouths. They just had to ask the question, right? And today on Christmas Eve, I want us to ask a question that the Bible doesn't ask, but expects us to ask, right? And then to stand in awe. Why the manger? So why the manger? Why, when God, he's God, right? He could have chosen 1,001 better places for his son to be born. Why allow the royal son, the word made flesh, to appear in a dirty, stinking manger? So I'm going to just read a few verses from Luke chapter 2, when the angel, when angels appeared to the shepherds. And I'm going to read from verse 7 through to verse 16. Mary's now given birth to baby Jesus. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This evening, just two lessons hidden in a manger, in an unlikely crib. Firstly, in a messy manger, you find the beauty of Jesus. In a very messy manger, you find the beauty of Jesus. Now, if you want to show off something beautiful, you know, where are you most likely to put it? Let's say that this Christmas, let's say I buy a diamond ring for Hunley. Now, that's hypothetical, okay? So I don't want to get her hopes up. Am I going to take that ring and am I going to put it in one of the boxes of instant soup that I have in my study, in a Royco box? Am I going to do that? Of course not. Or let's say that you have a painting. It's your favorite painting. It's in your home, and you want others to look at it, and you want them to say, "Wow." Are you going to put that in an old dusty frame? Or because you love it so much, are you going to go to an expert, which we've done before? We did it in Cape Town, and choose the right frame so that the picture can just stand out. What Lord, are you going to use to showcase the best of heaven? What are you going to use? What kind of box? What kind of frame? It's not what we expect. Are we going to find the beauty of heaven in a 5-star Hilton hotel, which God could afford? In the best suite, there is no clean bed, no Egyptian cotton sheets. There's a messy, grimy manger in a town that nobody really wanted to visit. That's something, you know. That's something. This morning, as we sang with the children, many children up here this morning, singing "Away in a Manger," we sang "No Crib for a Bed," but that's only half the story. It's only half the story. When God shows off his son to the world, it's not simply that there's no crib for a bed. The Father gives him the very opposite. By the way, the word manger comes from the word to chew or to eat. Mangers are for donkeys and cows. They're not for princes. They're certainly not, we would think, right, for God's son. Here's another, by the way, comment. Traditionally, we're told that there was no room for him in the inn, but I think the translation that I've read, that's the most recent NIV, is a good translation. It's a better translation. The word translated "inn" can better be translated "guest room." It could have been that Joseph might have arranged for them to stay with a friend of a friend. We don't know. But when they get there and they expect at least a guest room, because Mary's about to give birth, as it were, and often the guest room was kind of on the roof, they were sent downstairs to where the animals were kept, because the animals were very often kept in the home. Who really wants to get too close to a mom who's having a baby that's out of wedlock? The birth, the manger, the mess, it all speaks of a scandal. And it was. But dear family of God, could there be any better sign of the mess and the muddle into which God's Son must come? His name is Emmanuel, right? That's one of the names given to him, God with us. All right? Think about this evening. I don't know what's going on in your life, but think about this. Not God with a neat world, all wrapped up. Not God with that world. Not God with perfect families. Not God with people who have no problems or issues or no sin. God in the mess. God in the mess, in the brokenness of this world where people lie to one another and cheat one another, betray one another sometimes, and break one another's hearts. God in that world. I'm glad about that, because if I wrote the script for Jesus, it would be very different. No manger, no dirt, no mess. And the manger is a parable of his life. The fact that we don't hear, if you read the Bible, we don't hear much about Jesus until the age of 12 may mean that he knew what it was to be a refugee. You see? As a young boy, to wander from village to one village to another, no fixed address. But if Emmanuel is God with us in the manger, whatever we may face, there is no mess that he cannot sort out. No beauty that he cannot bring into the darkest places of life. Maybe if we brought manure into the church and not sweet candles, maybe we'd get an idea of the glory of Jesus who has come for messy, sinful people. This Christmas, I don't know what you're going through in your life, but don't ask the Lord, and whatever mess you're going through, don't ask the Lord, and I'm applying this to myself, right? I've got to. Don't ask the Lord for less of mess. Christmas says to me, ask the Lord for more of the Spirit of Jesus. Give to me more of the Spirit of Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, great Christian, says, who celebrates Christmas correctly? Whoever lays down all power and all honor and all reputation, whoever lays down all vanity, all arrogance, all individualism, whoever lays that besides the manger, whoever remains low and lets God alone be high, whoever looks at the child in the manger and sees the glory of God precisely in his lowliness, he's the one who celebrates Christmas correctly. Rejoice, rejoice with me that in a messy manger we find the beauty of Jesus. But then rejoice with me too that at the messy manger we see the mystery of Jesus. Or if you like, the mystery of God's method. We can't understand it. His ways are just so, so different. I mean, it's quite a statement, right, in verse 7. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Really? I mean, was this some chance that there was no room? Did God, who is all wise, did he miss that his son would end up in a manger in a town where nobody wanted to stop over? Hardly. This is just the way God wants it. It's always just the way God wants it. I mean, we have to think about that, right? God could have arranged that a faithful virgin and a kind of an ethical man, also from the line of David, would be found in Bethlehem, but that's not the way God works. See? He chooses Mary and Joseph, who live in Nazareth, not Bethlehem. Takes them about a week to travel, about 160 kilometers. And what a journey. Maybe her water is breaking as they come into the town. And it's amazing that God moves the heart of the big ruler of the day, Caesar Augustus. So at the right place, at the right time, in a place with no space for them, and more importantly, in a manger, God's salvation can be there at the right time. Always at the right time. Don't you love the way God works? You know, we look at the world, especially in a church like this, where people come and go, and we have many nations, and people come and go, and you look at the world, it's so mobile today. You look at the movements of people. And many of us in our own lives, we've been moved around. I mean, years ago, I never would thought what I would have ended up here in Europe. And it's as if God is saying, do you think you know what I'm doing globally? Do you think you know what I'm doing? You've got no idea. No idea. The God who puts his son in a manger for his purpose, that same God today, he comes to ordinary people. Not the important people of the world. Ordinary people like you and me. Ordinary as you may feel. And he says, as ordinary as you may be, I'm going to use you to lift up my son. Which tells me that Christmas is about Jesus. Sure, it's about Jesus. The manger speaks of Jesus. But it's also about how Jesus is lifted up in a world that needs him. By ordinary people. I think it's good this Christmas Eve to marvel at who's in the manger. I think it's good to do that. But I think it's also good to stand amazed at whom God uses to lay him there. Not a royal couple. Poor, humble parents. Son of God comes into the world through the womb of a young peasant woman. You and I wouldn't have looked at her twice. And together with the manger, she and Joseph are the proof that hope is very often found in the places that we least expect. You don't expect to find hope there. And that's where God gives it. And don't forget this Christmas. I don't know how well you know your Bible, and I encourage you, if you don't know your Bible and you want to live in a world like this, the Bible can help you to understand life and God. But don't forget that that's the whole story of the Bible. God chooses nobody Abraham to leave his home and travel to the place of promise. He chooses not Jacob's eldest to be the savior of Israel in a time of famine, but the next to youngest son, Joseph. He chooses small nation of Israel, least significant nation, to be a special people. He chooses David, the shepherd boy. And now we're in Bethlehem. He chooses not a capital city. He chooses a small, insignificant spot to be the birthplace for his son. Over and over again, God says, I will choose Bethlehem or Nazareth, not Jerusalem. I will choose the girl that nobody wants. I will choose the boy that everybody has forgotten. Do you see how the messy manger shatters the idea that if God is going to work in the world, he's got to work in a big way? You see? We try and impose on God how he should work. Powerful people doing powerful things. This is the opposite. What child is this? What child is this? The beauty in asking this at Christmas is that it calls us beyond Bethlehem to a life where lowliness, humility is normal. And so I ask you, as I've had to ask myself looking at the Bible this week, is humility your normal? Because today, if we're going to follow the babe at Bethlehem, we must follow him to even greater lowliness, greater humility, increasing lowliness, a life where if we're going to be first, we must be prepared to be last, and we must be servant of all. Servant of all. The manger is only the beginning, because he went much lower. Not just down to washing his disciples' feet, which nobody else wanted to do. He went right down to the cross, though in very nature God, Paul says, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Can we pause just one last time? I'm almost through. We will not understand the messy manger apart from the bloody cross. You won't understand it. At Christmas, God is saying to you and me, look beyond the messy manger. Look to the life of lowly sacrifice where Jesus had no place to lay his head. And then look further. Look to the ultimate place of loneliness. Look to the place of public execution where Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And you say to me, hey, Pastor, can't you just leave that for Easter? Can't you just leave that for Good Friday? Let's have our nice little cuddly baby Jesus at Christmas. Well, that's the point. That's the whole point. the candles this evening, the lights and the joy, all of these things would be hollow if we broke the link between Bethlehem and Calvary and what happened after Calvary when Jesus rose, the manger and the cross and the resurrection. Because this baby Jesus is not in the manger. He died and he rose again and he lives forever. And that's why he's our light and our hope and our joy and our peace and everything else. Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Which tells me that it's not ultimately the manger but the cross that shows that Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. Can I close with two encouragements today? Just two encouragements to you. In a world gone crazy, don't you sometimes you look at the news and you think, man, this world's gone crazy. I think they felt that in Jesus' day too. In a world gone crazy, good news still comes from the messy manger. That's the best news of all. That's where our hope is. I hope your hope is in that messy manger. The world is still messy. Politicians still have got a job to do and they continue to do their jobs. Computers are going to continue to change life. And life will have many challenges if you haven't already discovered that. But Christmas Eve isn't about man and what we can do to deal with the cause of our problems. It's what God has done. He's done it to cure the infection of sin that has shattered the relationship we have with God and others. Because he's come, the carol says, no more let sins and sorrows grow. Why? He comes to make his blessings flow. That's why he's come. Not in a world that's got it together, in a messy, sinful world. As far as the curse is found, the messy world, the backdrop, the frame for the beauty of Jesus. Which means that as we leave the messy manger, right, we must take the beauty of Jesus with us. Let's not just make this another Christmas, right? We want to take the beauty of Jesus with us. We want to take him with us. 2,000 years ago, the first people to see Jesus were simple shepherds. They lived with the smell of sheep on their clothes and sheep dung between their toes. I think they felt at home around the manger. And I suspect that before they saw Jesus, they felt very hopeless about their lives. Nothing to look forward to. Are our lives ever going to change? And yet when Jesus invaded their world and they saw the manger, they went back to their same world as very, very different men, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen. In a couple of hours, Christmas Eve is going to be over. Christmas Day will give way to Tuesday. You may have a few days if you've got a bit of vacation. Fantastic. And then you're going to go back to the same old grimy world. Right? How are you going to go? How are you going to go? Take the beauty and the mystery of the manger with you. Let it explode your heart with gladness, the same gladness that took the shepherds back to their world, carrying the good news of joy and peace and hope in Jesus. We sang it a moment or two ago. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Won't you join with me as we pray together? Let's pray. Lord, very, very humbly, very expectantly, we welcome the Lord Jesus. We welcome you, Jesus, into the chaos of our hearts. We get so confused at times. Bring your centering peace into our lives. We welcome you into the things over which we have no control. Bring your reign of grace. We welcome you into our very often busy and yet cold hearts. Bring the warming fire of your presence. We welcome you, Jesus, into our weariness and into our brokenness. Bring your beauty. Bring your healing. Lord, we welcome you into our fears and into our hopes. Bring your story writing hand and heart into our lives. Use ordinary people like us to tell out the good news of Jesus. And we welcome you into the place of our deepest longings and our unknown future. We are so glad that Jesus has come into our world. Free us in our lives, we pray, to aim high for you, but to go very low and to live in the footsteps of Jesus, our Savior. And we'll be glad to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we just have to end with this great, great song, Joy to the World. Joy indeed to the world. The Lord is come. Won't you stand as we sing together? Just before the benediction, what you'll want to do is blow out your candles at some stage, and I'm sure there'll be a box there that you can just help our ushers by putting the used candles in that box. And then just to say that we have some warm refreshments for you. We'd love to get to know those who are new amongst us a little bit better. So you simply have to go down those stairs into the hall, and you'll get something nice and warm to send you out into this chilly night to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Let's close together in prayer. Lord, could we be anything else but joyful? And we certainly don't want to just be joyful on Christmas Eve, because we're surrounded by good things and good relationships and family and all the things that we love, and that's great and that's good. But we want to be joyful most of all because your joy, Father, the joy of heaven, has been born again in our hearts. And therefore, every day is a reason to rejoice in you. So, thank you that you rule the world with truth and grace. Thank you that you're the one who is making the nations prove one way or another. The nations will prove the glory of your righteousness and the wonder of your love. So, send us out into our world to live for this Jesus, as we ask all of these things in his name. Amen.